to the program. We are in program number 9 on dealing with our feelings in an age of apostasy. In our last program, we were saying concerning dealing with our feelings, we need to face the facts, we need to face our feelings, and we need to face the future. We read in 1 Timothy 4:1, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith." 2 Timothy 4:3 says, "The time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine." We need to face the facts. We're living in an age of apostasy. 2 Thessalonians 2:3 says, "There shall come a falling away." We said that apostasy is not a position. Apostasy is a process. A process is a series of actions or steps that we take. We said that our feelings can be the greatest enemy of our faith. Now, if we're going to go by our feelings, when the issues come along, we're going to choose sides. If we're going to go by our faith, if our faith is scriptural, then we're not going to choose sides. We are going to choose scripture. Again, in Hebrews chapter 3, verse number 12, we read, "Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God." We need to be sure that we're living by faith and not by our feelings.
"And camped along the hills of light, ye Christian soldiers rise, and press the battle ere the night shall veil the glowing skies. Against the foe in vales below, let all our strength be heard. Faith is a victory we know that overcomes the world. Faith is a victory. Faith is a victory. Oh, glorious victory that overcomes the world. His banner over us is love, our sword the word of God. We tread the road the saints above with shouts of triumph trod. By faith they like a whirlwind's breath swept on o'er every field. The faith by which they conquered death is still our shining shield. Faith is the victory. Faith is the victory. Oh, glorious victory that overcomes the world. On every hand the foe we find, drawn up in dread array. Let tents of ease be left behind, and onward to the prey. Salvation's helmet on each head, with truth all girt about. The earth shall tremble 'neath our tread, and echo with our shout. to him that overcomes the foe, white raiment shall begin. Before the angels he shall know his name confessed in heaven. Then onward from the hills of light, our hearts with love aflame, we'll vanquish all the hosts of night in Jesus' conquering name. Faith is a victory. Faith is a victory.
Seen in our study on this subject of our feelings that what happens is a circumstance will come along. That circumstance will then get us thinking. Our thoughts will then lead to our emotions or our feelings, and from there we will go forward with some kind of an action. Now in Mark chapter 16 we have the disciples, and they've been through some circumstances in the previous days. There was the trial of Jesus. They were in the Garden of Gethsemane when they all came out there and they arrested Christ, and then it was the crucifixion. And the disciples ran for their lives, and we read in Mark 16 that the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews. Now there's an emotion there. Their feelings are in control. We read in Mark 16 and verse number 10, they mourned and they wept. Well, there's nothing wrong with that if you're mourning and weeping for the right reason. Are they mourning and weeping because of their feelings and the fact that, well, Jesus has been crucified and we thought he was going to kick out the Romans and so on? You remember on the way into Jerusalem just before he was crucified, he told them that he would be crucified. And then we read in the next few verses they were arguing among themselves who should be the greatest in the kingdom that Jesus was going to set up. They just didn't get it. Well, they're mourning and they're weeping here. And the Bible says that Mary Magdalene came to the meeting and she said, "He is alive. He's alive." And we read, they believed not. Then a couple of disciples that Jesus had met on the Emmaus Road came in and said, "He's alive. We talked to them." And the Bible says, neither believed they them. Well, the next thing we see is that Jesus appeared, and it says that he upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart because they believed not. But when the circumstances come along, we're going to have to figure out whether we're going to go with our feelings or whether we're going to go with our faith. Are we going to believe the Word of God or not? It's interesting, in John chapter 14, verse 27, Jesus had told them that, all right, I'm going back to heaven, but he said, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." He said, "I'm leaving my peace with you, don't be troubled. Don't be afraid." In John 16 and 33, he said, "These things have I spoken unto you, that ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer." Well, we see them having their emotional meeting here in John chapter 20 and verse 19. It says, "The same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst and saith unto them, Peace be unto you." Peace be unto you. Now, what does that mean? We see that in the Bible a lot. The phrase, "peace be unto you." Jesus used it. Paul the Apostle used it. Peter used it when writing their letters. Peace be unto you. Does that mean that when Jesus came in that room and said, "Peace be unto you," that all of a sudden those 11 men automatically were going to have a warm and fuzzy feeling and they were going to feel peace? He said in John 20 and verse 21, "Peace be unto you." John 20 and verse 26, after 8 days later, it says, the doors being shut, he said, "Peace be unto you." Now, if they're just going to get a warm and fuzzy feeling because Jesus said, "Peace be unto you," it didn't last very long. Philippians 4:9 says, those things which ye have learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. Peace is a byproduct. Peace is a byproduct. It's something that comes as a result of the things that we have learned and heard and seen. Then we should do them, and the byproduct is the God of peace shall be with you. And so we read in Galatians 6 and verse 16, as many as walk according to this rule, peace be unto them. We also read in Romans 8 and 6, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Now, he said to be carnally minded is death. Obviously, that is used metaphorically here. In fact, the word has been translated deadly on two occasions. To be carnally minded is deadly, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Peace is a byproduct. And those disciples cowering in that room with the door shut, what was happening there was they were allowing their feelings to overtake their faith, and they were living accordingly. The Bible is very clear about how we are to handle the situations in a day of apostasy or when the trials and troubles come into our lives. We read in verse 10 of 2 Timothy chapter 3, Paul used the word, but thou. Then we also read it in book of Jude. Jude said, but beloved, but ye beloved. What are we supposed to do? He said here back in 2 Timothy 3 verse 10, but thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, peace, persecution. He goes on, he gives a whole list of things. He says, but thou hast fully known. Then in 2 Timothy 3, verse 1, he says, this know also, that in the last times, perilous times, shall come. We need to understand what the Bible says and not be surprised when these perilous or hard-to-do times come along in our lives. Jude, in Jude chapter 1 and verse number 17, after giving a long list of some very negative situations concerning this age of apostasy that we're living in today, he gives us our responsibility of living for the Lord during this age of apostasy. He says, but beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that they told you that there should be mockers in the last time, who should walk after their own ungodly lusts. These be they who separate themselves, sensual, not having not the Spirit, but ye, beloved, here's the secret, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, not your feelings, building up yourself on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keeping yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And if some have compassion, making a difference, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Then he says, now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God our Savior be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and evermore. He says, but ye beloved, you'll find the key right here in Jude chapter 1, verses 20 down through to the end of the chapter. He says, if we will do these things, he, that is the Lord, is able to keep us from falling into this mess of apostasy or falling into the mess of our feelings rather than letting faith have control. The hymn writer has said, sound the battle cry, see the foe is nigh, raise the standard high for the Lord. One of the greatest battles we're going to have in this world is against our own feelings.
Sound the battle cry, see the foe is nigh, raise the standard high for the Lord. Gird your armor on, stand firm everyone, rest your cause upon his holy word. Rouse and Hosanna, Christ is the mighty throng. Strong to meet the foe, marching as we go, while our cause we know must prevail. Shield and banner bright, gleaming in the light, battling for the right we dare and fail. Of the mind.